I, the Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This verse 32, since it was just one verse, I'll read it to you again. It says, everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. I feel that too often in the body of Christ, people are concerned about the strategies of the enemy, and that they feel like the only way that they can get breakthrough or victory is if we can discover the strategy of the enemy and then come against the strategy of the enemy. But I think the truth is that the enemy is really concerned about the strategy of God. And I want to know what God's strategy is. And God's strategy ultimately is the cross and the new creation that's the result of the finished work of Jesus. The defeat of the enemy and the new creation that enforces that defeat until Jesus comes again. This is a really fascinating verse, and so I'm really glad Anna's here because she's a Greek scholar now. And so we'll talk about some Greek preposition that you'll like, Anna. This is the way it should literally be read because they leave it out. And the New American Standard is by far the best translation, but they still leave this little part out. It says, this is the way it should be read. Everyone, therefore, who in Christ, who in me shall confess before men, I will in him confess before my Father who is in heaven. Let me read it to you again. Everyone, therefore, who in me shall confess before men, I will also in him confess before my Father who is in heaven. That little preposition means all the world. That's the whole point of this verse that the Holy Spirit, the scripture the Holy Spirit gave, these words that Jesus spoke, is because he's talking about our union with Christ. Everyone who in me shall confess before men, in him I shall confess before my Father. Let me, as we pray to see a greater normality manifested in our midst in every realm of Christ-likeness, whether it's internal holiness or external ministry. And we're praying specifically here lately about seeing a more biblical or normal manifestation of the ministry of Christ among us. I believe that there are just places all throughout Scripture where the strategy of God is kind of made clear. Jesus said, I'll just read this verse to you. In like several different ways, he said this four times in the Upper Room Discourse. But he says, this is verse 16 of John 15. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. And then three other times he talks about asking in his name, he would give to us. Again, when we ask things in Jesus' name, what we're doing is we're asking from the ground of our union with Christ. We're asking as if we were him. We're not him, but we're in union with him. We're one with him. He's our life. And so we're speaking as a vine and a branch. And we've talked about this before. The branch is the part of the vine that bears fruit. And they're one. And so if I go again to the bank and I take my hand and I hand a deposit slip and a check to the teller doesn't say, I'm so sorry, I have to get this check from Mr. Jones. I can't take it from his hand. There's no separation because we're one. So important that you understand this because this is the heart. I hate to use the word key because that's formula. This is the root of Christian living, is your union with Christ. And so, and the word confess comes from two, and I'm doing all this for Anna. This is part of my Christmas present for her. It comes from two words that mean, the two words together just means to say the same words, speak the same words. speak the same word. Jesus bore witness of what he saw and heard. Everything he heard the Father saying, he said. Everything he saw the Father doing, he did. He spoke the same, and he did the same. And out of our union with Christ, when we confess, when we agree with what Jesus is saying, what he has said, and what he is saying about that situation, as we, from that place in Christ, in his name, we use his name, we're saying, in union with Christ, this is Christ, I'm in agreement with him, I'm saying what he's saying about this condition, this situation. Out of that union, I'm in agreement with him. It says when we do that, Jesus says, in me, he says, Father, that's me. Respond to that as if that were me. Because they're doing that in me. And they're saying what I'm saying. So, Father, in them, because I'm in union with them, I'm saying to you, Father, this is me. As if that were me. You hear me? That is so significant. Because if I'm praying for people to get healed, or I'm speaking in their life about some other situation, if I'm confessing before men, and I'm begging God for the anointing, then I've missed the mark. And again, we're hoping that we can do something, that there's something about we can beg him enough to impress him enough to do something for us. He's already done. You're in Christ. Again, you're not Jesus, right? But you're in union with him. He says, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now in Christ, who is your life. It says again in Colossians 2:6, we looked at this the other day, it's the same way you received him, walk in him. Walk in Christ. Jesus Christ is the only person who can live the Christian life. He's the only person who can live a life of holiness in you. He's the only one who can live a life of God love and signs and wonders through you. He's the only one. And so out of that consciousness in him, when I say what he's saying about the situation, I'm bearing witness of what heaven says. The Father backs it up because Jesus is saying, Father, treat that one as if it's me talking. He said, that sounds too simple. Duh. We're the ones who make it complicated, not God. If the Lord said, lest you become like a little child, the whole Christian life should be so simple that the smallest child should be able to get it. We should probably let little children do theology, but we adults make it so complicated, little children can't get it, and we can't get it either. I don't have to beg for the anointing when I pray for that person, because if I'm doing it out of faith in my union with Christ, saying what he's saying, I'm believing that it's Jesus Christ praying for that person through me. It's Jesus Christ ministering love to that person through me. Jesus Christ baking those cookies through me, and I'm going to bring that friend at work. Jesus Christ is doing the visit. It's Jesus Christ. I'm in agreement with him. And it carries his anointing. That's just so liberating to me. Because an example would be when you watch people come up here and give words, what can happen, and people can get frozen. Because they get scared. And I understand that. Those things happen in our emotions. But they get scared because, I don't know if I have a word. What if I miss the word? What if I get it wrong? Instead of stopping, remembering, I'm in Christ. So Lord Jesus, you can do whatever you want to do. And I'm going to trust that when it comes to my head, that's you. And I'm going to go for it in faith. And as you do, Jesus is saying, in me, to the Father, hey, Father, that's release the anointing. That's the way it works. And in every area of the Christian life, that's the way it works. I just think that's cool stuff. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.